Father God, it's your word that's perfect, and seemingly so that there's our word that is always so imperfect. God, unless you give us wisdom, unless we speak the oracles of God, it always seems to, instead of bring life, it brings death, pain. Forgive us for that, God. We love you, and we need you to help us. May your word speak to us and change us more than anything else today. May we receive all the wisdom and the prophetic wisdom that you have for us today. We pray, help us, God, to change. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. If you have not been here, we've been looking at the book of James. James is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote this book in a very different type of format than the Pauline. That's a very fancy word for the books that the Apostle Paul wrote. The Pauline letters are very different than James's letter. James's letter is more laid out as a Proverbs of the New Testament with explanation. As we've been studying the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night for the last 6 months, we've noticed that it's really difficult. It's a difficult journey, the book of Proverbs, because every proverb can potentially be a whole Bible study. Well, here, we do see it like that. We see how James expounds. Like, we're only going to cover two so-called proverbs, but James expounds on them. He opens them up, and he gives a little more wisdom. Again, if you've not been here on Wednesday nights, I've had to kind of lay this out, and I have to again. It's going to sound condescending as I'm teaching this. It's going to sound like I'm putting you down or putting us down. I'm not. It's easy for me to sit here and read the Bible to you and be a fleshly conviction, a soulish conviction, but it's not. It's supposed to be a spiritual. Please remember this. The job of pastors is not the job of a cop. It's the job of a doctor. And here's what always happens is people always put pastors, people who are new to what's called conviction, who are new to being rebuked by God's word, they always put the pastor in a cop position. A cop is somebody who sees you breaking the law, sets you straight, and if need be, takes you in. And then you have to suffer the consequences. A doctor is somebody who doesn't care what you've done, they're just trying to fix it. And both have their place, believe me, a good place that is too. But my job and the job of every pastor is never to be the job of a cop. It's to be the job of a doctor. So please, as I am explaining these things to you, it is from the place of the same level at the foot of the cross. I've failed so miserably. If there's one thing the Zito family is known for, and in case you guys don't know, my name is Ryan Gittman. My real family name is Zito. My grandmother's name is Zito from Sicily. And what we have always been known for is our sharp tongue. We could straighten you right out. We're the ones that can, I'll tell that person. If you know what I'm talking about, that type of person. And in my neighborhood growing up, I grew up in a neighborhood called Howard Beach. It was in Queens. It was a very well-known neighborhood for if you said the wrong thing to the wrong person, you would wind up in the weeds, as they say. And many a person who had said the wrong thing to the wrong person, many of my friends wound up there. And trying to undo what you did with your mouth, as my daddy used to always say, pardon the French as I say it, son, don't let your mouth write a check that you cannot cash. I'll let you think about that for a second. James basically says the same thing. Chapter 3, the book of James, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. That word for teachers there is a spiritual teacher. It's the Greek word diaskedosis or some to that effect, which speaks of the teaching of doctrine, the teaching of God's word. You here who look at somebody like me and go, oh man, why don't they ever ask me to teach the Bible? Why don't I teach it? Here, James says, oh, be really, really careful about that. Because you who teach, when you get before God, you will be held to a higher account. My wife, me and her, I have this terrible habit of coarse jesting. It's also part of my New York upbringing. I can always find some stupid thing to say about some stupid thing. And my wife, she always looks at me, she goes, I do not want to be in back of you on the line of heaven. What are you talking about? She goes, oh, you're going to have to give an account for all those things you say, and I don't want to wait to get in there. She ain't lying either. She ain't lying. 4, verse 2, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he's a perfect man, otherwise known as a mature person, able to also bridle the whole body. And now he goes, he says, you know, the person that can control the tongue. Now, and I want you to know, and I'm going to look at this in a little deeper way than most people teach this. It's not just the controlling of not saying anything, but this study of saying what's right. Having the wisdom to say things that edify. Having the ability not to say something that's so easy to say because that's what she says. You know, that's easy, man. Anybody can do that stuff. But what's really difficult is to say something in a situation where somebody goes, that's a good word, man. That's a good word. That's the word I needed. Now, we're going to look at this in depth. Stay with me. I just want to continue reading for a little bit more. He says, now describing this thing in our mouths, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large, and they are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot desires, even so, the tongue, it's a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? That word for great there doesn't mean great like we are great. That word literally means large. So you ever look at a forest fire? See how big some forest fires are? You know what? Flame started that little tiny spark. And he's using this, James is, to talk about the tongue. Now, again, staying along the theme that we've been since last week, remember who James's brother was, and let me remind you of something that James's brother might have said to him. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it's his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes, your no be no. For whatever is more of these is from the evil one. That was from Matthew 5:33. Through 37. That was the word, possibly, again, sanctified imagination, that the Lord Jesus said to his brother. He has his little brother. He looked at his little brother and said, James, don't you understand? Your mouth should be closed. You will catch flies with it open. When you say yes, do it. When you say no, don't. Don't swear. Stop swearing. Think about these things that a big brother says to a little brother. And now, becoming fully mature, James is now like, yeah, he's giving us the lessons that his brother gave him wonderfully. Continue. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue, it is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. and it is set on fire by hell. Interesting, that word for hell is in the Hebrew or the Greek, Gehenna. That was a place of always burning. When I grew up in, it was like a tenement area. I lived in a six-story building, and I was on the first floor. And when you threw out your garbage, you'd have these we had paper bags back then because we hated the environment. And we'd take these paper bags full of garbage, and we'd walk down the hallway. We'd pass everybody's house, and we'd have what's called the incinerator room. And we'd open up the door, and you put your foot on it because it stank and it was hot in there. And you'd open up this little latch, and you'd dump the bag down there. And down in there was an incinerator. We had a chimney that used to go up to the top, all the way up through the top building. I lived sixth floor. And we'd throw it in there, and that fire was always burning. Night and day, you could always see. Oh, where's my building? Oh, there it is. It's the one with the fire above it. We always had, and if somebody was threw something in there, man, somebody threw something in the incinerator that stinks. They're not supposed to throw that plastic in there. Gehenna was that for Israel. It was the dump where the fire was always burning, and it became a synonym for hell, Gehenna, where the fire always burns. People always had garbage, always dead animals they were throwing, any trash, there was where they always threw, Gehenna. And that's what he says. Again, the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Before we read verse 10, maybe you come from the same era I came from. Does anybody know who Chris Rock is? Okay. So Chris Rock used to have this thing. I believe it was Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle. He said, just keeping it real. Anybody ever see that gig? He does it on keeping it real. Oh, I'm going to keep it real. And bet out comes the real. Oh, I'm going to tell you what it's all about. I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to tell that cop. I'm going to tell that man. I'm going to tell that woman. There's an old Chinese proverb. It is better to keep your mouth shut and be thought of a fool than to open your mouth and remove all the doubt. If I was to read you all of the things that the Bible says about the tongue, the mouth, the words, we'd be here till Wednesday afternoon. Over and over again, the Lord Jesus said, listen, I don't care what you eat. You can eat anything you want. It's not what goes in your mouth that makes the sin, that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. Not trying to condescend, not trying to poke at anybody. I'm more reading this and convicting myself. Listen, we have this thing, it's called degrees of separation. Has anybody ever heard of the degrees of separation? Let me explain to you what it is. When I'm sitting here and I'm talking to Nikki face to face, there's certain things that I will say to her and certain things that I won't. But now, if we're driving in the car, and there's some glass and a vehicle, you know what I'll say to her? Let's say she drives a little bit in my lane. You should die! The things that utter out of our mouths, out of other people's mouths. Like, has anybody ever given you the finger for, like, changing lanes or something like that? And you're like... If I'm driving down the road and somebody does something, my daughter Cammie, she does this. She goes, Daddy, Daddy, don't do it. Don't. And she sees me pull up next to them. She holds the window. She doesn't let me. Don't do it, Daddy. usually I'll lower the window and they'll be like, hey, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. Filthy. Degrees of separation. Now, let's say we can't see each other's face at all, and say we're like behind the screen of a computer, and there's a keyboard in front of us, and there's no accountability whatsoever. So about 3 months ago, my company, I own an online business, and we shipped somebody a product that they didn't like. And we told them, hey, you know, you're supposed to call us within 24 hours, and you didn't. So, you know, we're going to need pictures and all this other stuff. And the email that I got back was basically cussing and fussing. And at the end of it is, I hope you and your whole family get cancer and die. Like, we're talking about an iguana, right? Let me just get this straight. The level of separation, the degrees of separation, the further apart you get from accountability of your words. Remember we looked last week, last Wednesday. Remember the last proverb we read? Does anybody remember it? A fool's mouth calls for contention. A fool's words enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. Like somebody who talks, they're just telling you to punch him in the face. Hey, listen, you didn't have to go that far. If you wanted to get smacked in the mouth, all you had to do is tell me. Hey, do me a favor. Instead of cussing me out, just say smack me in the mouth. So much easier. And then we don't have to get mad. And we'll both feel so much better afterwards. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm jesting and we're having a little fun with this thing here, but it bears for us to think towards these things. And maybe to install in ourselves two things. One of them, something that a lot of people don't understand, called a filter or an echo chamber. Try to say it in your head before it leaves your mouth. Install something between here and here that pushes it back down. And you go, you know, if I say that, guys, if you say that, you probably won't see that woman for a few days. Probably, Johnny?
My buddy Josh, he works for a major tech company.
Uh-huh.
Supposed to
get what?
Mandate vaccine. Mandate vaccine, and they're having a corporate video conference with the entire organization. As they're doing this, people are firing up on the corporate communication. I'm not leaving, and all of a sudden, one of the CEOs or COOs says, by the way, we see what you are typing. We have a recording of it, like, cease and desist, and my buddy told us, and they kept going.
Be careful keeping it real, because when you keep it real, somebody else a little bit more powerful than you might keep it a little more real. And reality might not be so easy to deal with when your reality doesn't match up with that person's reality. Follow what I'm saying? There is not much more I could say toward this situation that is going to make any difference. Words are like one of those funny things that are, unless they've really cost you, like, I've used this example, and I hate using this example because it sounds almost braggadocious, but it's not meant to. When I was growing up, again, I grew up in this neighborhood, and the ways of my neighborhood were probably, some of you guys can totally relate, and some of you guys, like, can't relate at all. But we constantly were in the street. So getting arrested was part of literally our daily lives. Oh, so-and-so got arrested. Who's going to pick him up? He's going to be on Queens Boulevard. I don't have any gas money. I'm not driving up to Queens Boulevard. Who told him to get arrested? You know? And it was always a fight in a club, and this guy got arrested, and the cops raided this place, and we got arrested. It was always constantly getting arrested, trying to get bailed out, and another lawyer and another case on top of a case, and this one. And I remember the first time we were in a club, and I was probably 19 or 20 years old, and some kid walked by, and in the clubs, it was used to be really packed out, and sometimes you'd have to walk this way, and literally, like, what are you looking at? Excuse me? And that's all it really took to get into a big fight. And if somebody was crazy, somebody's getting stabbed or shot or something like that. Just the way it was. And I remember we're walking, and a buddy of mine is sitting there, and some kid's looking at him, and all of a sudden I turn around, and it's loud, and he's about two body lengths away from me, and he's like, you know, getting up in the kid's business. I'm like, I ain't doing this again. I reached over and grabbed him by the back of his hair, and I pulled him. I'm like, no, we're not getting arrested. I'm not going to jail again tonight. I am not spending another weekend in central booking. And we had a great time and a fun night. And I remember after that going, man, I got to do that more often. I got to learn to shut my yap. I wish I could tell you that was the last time I got arrested, but. Now, hopefully some of y'all are relating to what I'm saying in some form or another. Like, let me give you a little bit of, ladies, if it sounds like I'm coming down on you, I am. Brothers, if it sounds like I am with you in heart, I am. Me and my wife are complete opposites, except in one area. She's an alpha female, and I'm an alpha male. She's very passive. Believe it or not, I'm a little on the aggressive side. When we get into arguments, discussions, my wife is not intimidated by me in the least. And usually it goes back and forth, and here's what happens. In case you've never seen this, brothers and sisters, Pastor John Cinelli taught me this years ago. You have to learn this now. Men spike, women seethe. What does that mean, Ryan? Men get angry, boom, and then they come back down. Women seethe. Takes sometimes days for them. Now what happens is, as men spike and they come back down, somewhere around here, they're ready to make up. Feel me, adults? And women are still seething. Oh, you want to make up, do you? Oh, you want to make up, huh? You should have been thought about that before you were flapping them gums. Knocking that jaw together. Now you want to make up, do you, huh? And now as guys should, that's when usually we are ready to apologize for anything. I'm really sorry. Now, why do I bring that up? When my wife starts to seethe while she's on her way to that max point, I will say to her, because I'm still spiking also and she's seething, but I'm much higher than she is on the angry scale, and I'll be like, listen to me. My hands are shaking, but I haven't yelled yet. Don't say another word. Not one more. Leave it here, and we can actually get through this without a blowout. If you say one more word, it's probably going to take a week for us to recover, because I'm telling you, I'm like in the freaking red zone right now. The chances of her not saying another word are less than zero. When I say less than zero, I mean, if I said to her, listen, I just talked to the king of China,
And if you say another word, they will detonate 10 atom bombs, and the whole world is going to blow up.
She's still going to say another word. And usually that word is, you don't tell me when I can and can't talk. She's here. Hi, honey. I love you, honey. Did I tell you how beautiful you look today? I'm really sorry about that argument we had this morning. Ready to make up. You guys understand what is being said here? So it seems like the simplest of lessons to learn, I got it. Do you got it? Do you hear what James is saying? Your tongue is the tiniest, one of the tiniest members of your body. But look at the fire it sets. When you get hot, when you get heated, you will say, the stupidest things, that it will only take about 30 hours that you didn't mean any of it. And what if you can't undo it? So many times I've sat in that office with couples and they want to make up, but she said, but he said, I didn't mean it, I was just mad. But you can't do that. You can't take it back once it's out there. Look, I'm getting a little more serious now, right? I'm telling you, get that filter installed somewhere between your throat and your mouth and think about the things that you're saying. Tell your wife, tell your husband, I want a divorce, I'm sick of you, I hate your guts. Really? Really? Are you sure you're going to mean that tomorrow? Oh, she knew I was kidding. No, she doesn't. Well, she told me she forgave me. Takes years, man. Some of that damage takes years to undo. Believe me, as one who knows, me and my wife have been together for almost 35 years. And it's taken me years to figure these things out and years to get back what I broke with my mouth. Just giving you a hint. Now, let's continue the rest, because he kind of continues along the same theme, and then we're going to look at a really interesting Old Testament principle for something. Verse 10 is where we left off. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Do you guys get that? Like, again, just to be a little on the funny side, to lighten things up, in my house, because we were Italian-American, it was my father, if you shovel that food one more time, I'm going to stab you in the neck with this knife. But the first time I said something like that to one of my kids, my wife was like, I cannot believe you just said that. Like, I didn't mean it. How could you? That's how we talk. You want me to pick that garbage and hit you over head with it? Didn't I tell you to take that garbage out? Did you just tell that child you're going to hit her over the head with the garbage? I'm not going to hit her over the head with the garbage. Then why did you say that? Oh, that's what my father used to say to me. He never, once in a while, hit me over the head with it. It wasn't hard. And here James is saying, listen, husband, wife, you can't tell her how much you love her and how much she drives you crazy one day, and then the next day tell her what a piece of garbage she is and you hate her guts. And especially when it comes to the intimacy thing. You guys, you start throwing that stuff around, man, you're smashing each other to death. And then let's apply it from a Christianity perspective. Now you're asking, I've had many people say, well, where does the Bible say you shouldn't curse? Because you'll get some people, hey, yeah, they're born-again Christian, and out of their mouth there's one four-letter word after another. And it doesn't bother me. I'm not a pearl clutcher. I've heard that stuff before. It's not a big deal. Believe me, my mother cursed like a truck driver. You ain't gonna. But here James is saying, yeah, blessing and cursing shouldn't be out of the same mouth. You can't be in church and here's I just screwed up. It's not that you can't. He's saying you shouldn't. Do your best. And let me give you the verses. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that may impart grace to the hearer. Ephesians 4:29. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. And from the book of Proverbs, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. These all these things that again, over and over and over and over and over and over. He says, yeah, you want to let that stuff go. Yeah, but that's how I grew up. I know. But it's time. Some of you all are too far along in this thing now to let cursing and blessing both flow out of your mouth that easily. Some. I ain't judging. Believe me, I got work on my mouth too, believe me. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. I mean, these things make sense, right? Who are you looking for? The shame of the walk of shame. There it is. That's a good thing? Okay. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Please, give me your attention. James now takes it from not just not saying what you shouldn't say to saying what you should say. And there's a step of an axis of growth. There's a spiritual, what the Bible calls sanctification. Listen, it's one thing to stop saying things that you ought not. James now takes it to the next level with the mouth and says, you know, there are also some things that you should be saying. There's some wisdom that you might need to impart. You want to, because not only does God want to take from you, ready? Watch this. Not only does God want to take from you what's not good for you, now he wants you to give to others what's good for them. You see, Christianity is not just a bunch of thou shalt nots. To whom much is given, much is required. You can't worship the blessing. You worship the blesser. You can't find yourself hoarding what God is giving you. You're supposed to give it to others. That's what I'm doing up here. And again, sounding condescending, like I've done so much. It's taken me 30 plus years now. I got saved and baptized in 1993 and got baptized in 94. I honestly say I need to be further along than I am in this thing. I really need to grow up in so many areas. I'm with you. I am not condescending. This stuff is kicking my butt like it's kicking yours. But it can be done. It can be. If you were in my house 25 years ago when me and my wife were dating, before we were married, and 30 years ago before we married, and you know, and now, like, we don't cuss each other out anymore. She hasn't hit me in like a month and a half. We're growing up.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. So he says, when you give out wisdom, here's your first instruction. When you are talking to a brother or sister and you're telling them, not just gossiping, not just giving Christian advice, but when you are speaking them in a way to edify them, first things first, there should be not bitter envy or self-seeking. It shouldn't be something that,
wow, if I tell them this, then I'll get this out of it. You're supposed to be first and foremost giving of the treasure of your heart as if it wasn't yours anyway. He said, because if you're speaking to them and you're just telling them something that you want them to do, because in the end you'll benefit from it, here's what he calls that. He calls that earthly, which means it's not heavenly, which literally means the dirt. Sensual, that word sensual isn't the sexual meaning of sensual, it's natural. It's like the original language, the Greek, is animal-like, proceeds from a dog. You can't be a dog. Dogs sniff and eat, sniff and hump. Dogs do what they feel like doing. That's all they do. When you do that, you've not thought about the other person. All you've done is thought about yourself. That wisdom, it's earthly, sensual, demonic. It's not of the Holy Spirit. It's of the evil spirit. You guys with me? When you're giving somebody something, and in the end you're like, man, if I can get this business deal. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking, man, we should be partners. We should do this together. Uh-huh. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above. Now, interesting way this is put. If somebody comes to you and he says, I have a word from the Lord for you. I had a dream. I had a vision. I was reading the Bible and God caused me to think of you. If you are sitting down and giving somebody your opinion on their, man, somebody says, I just need somebody to talk to, and they unload their whole life on you. What you say to them, it's really, really, really important to line up with this scripture. Often somebody will come and say, hey, you know, so-and-so came to me and they said that Lord gave him this word, and they tell me it, and I'll go, James 3:17 it. And they'll go, what does that mean? I'll go, look it up. Look it up. Super important. You ready? James 3:17. First of all, it's pure. Now, that word for purity also, that's not a sexual purity. That means that it's straight from the word. It's not, you know, Confucius. It's not Buddha. Pure. Where'd you get that from? The Bible. Okay? We're starting good. Then it's peaceable. It's peaceable, meaning it will lead to calmness. You know, I think the Lord is telling me you need to go sue that woman and get what you got coming to you. Yeah, where is that in the Bible? In Ryan 6:22. You sure it wasn't Ryan 666? Maybe. You follow me? This is the wisdom. Somebody, I have a word. The Lord told me to give you a word. Really? But why didn't he tell me it? Am I on some gross sin or something like that? You know, in the Bible, there were prophets appointed by God to give wisdom. But the vast majority of the time, it's because the people they were giving this wisdom to, they were in a bad place. When Nathan came to David and said, hey, listen, there was a man, he had friends coming to town, and he went and took the lamb out of one. You don't know the story? Look it up. It's an amazing story. It's because David was in gross sin. Hey, I have a word from the Lord. And I say, bro, God showed me something for you, Todd. And he says, well, give it, you know. And I tell it to him, and he goes, bro, that's a confirmation I've been waiting for because God told me. And we go, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's gentle. That word for gentle literally means to receive. It's the opposite of a jagged road. It comes easy. It comes easy. You're giving it easy. You're not telling them what God told you. It's a gentle word. James 3:17 it when somebody's got a word for you, in whatever situation it is. And if it don't line up to James 3:17, listen to me. Shake the dust off your feet and do not let it enter your heart, because all it will do is cause confusion in every evil thing. You with me? It's willing to yield. Otherwise, in King James, easily entreated. You know what that means? The person can respond to you and ask questions without you getting frustrated. Hey, I have a word from the Lord for you. Some guy one time, he was coming to our church, he went to our church, he was gone maybe 3 months, and I think him and his wife showed up maybe 4 times in those 3 months. And he says, hey, I have a word from the Lord for you. I was like, bro, let's do it. He goes, well, I want to take you out to lunch. And I was like, well, this is good, this is getting good. So we're out to lunch. And he told me that God is going to judge me and my family, and that I'm really in trouble because I taught something that was inaccurate in the Bible, according to him. And as I asked him questions, he, nope, you're not supposed to talk right now. You're supposed to listen. I was like, listen, man. Waitress, give me the check. Thank you. He took the check, and I was like, take a cab home. Paid the bill and left. If it's not easily entreated, if it's not willing to yield, it's not the Lord. And I can honestly say, unless it's really taken a long time, and that's always a possibility in God's economy, it's been about 12 years since that meeting, and so far me and my family are doing pretty good. I mean, so he might have been wrong. That might not have been the Lord. And I'm not saying this for me. I'm saying it for you here, because the vast majority of people who have left churches for that reason. They were told something, they were given something, they were manipulated, they were seduced by somebody who came in the name of the Lord. James 3:17 it. Continuing. It's full of mercy and good fruits. People always like to say, you got to tell them the truth with love. You got to tell them the truth with love. Truth and love, man. No. More often than the truth and love, the Bible says to tell the truth with mercy. What's the difference? Well, here's the difference. If I know somebody's smoking a lot of herb, or somebody's drinking a lot, or somebody's hooked on porn, I don't come to them and say, you filthy, disgusting pig. The Bible says to be pure and holy. What's the matter with you? No. Good is that going to? Do you know how many people do that? Now, on the other side, you can't tell them it's okay. Hey, listen, we got to be loving, graceful. It's okay to smoke pot. It's okay to drink. Yeah, but if you're drinking and your pot smoking is stopping you from serving God, serving your family, you got to kind of at some point. But the truth with mercy, hey, dude, look, man. I ain't judging you. But maybe it's time to turn your internet off. Maybe, look, I would do, I'm sure I'd be in the same place you are. That's why I got rid of all my social media. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have Instagram or Snapchat or any of that. I don't have it because I know the weaknesses of my flesh and I couldn't handle it. So maybe it's time for you. The truth with mercy. You follow it? Here, James 3:17 it. Full of mercy and good fruits. If you do these things, you're going to bear good fruit. I promise you, if you cut pornography out of your life, your marriage will be better. You know it and I know it. Without partiality. And without hypocrisy. Now, that word without partiality is super, super important. When I meet with a couple, I meet with a couple. Hey, Pastor Ryan, I have to talk to you about something that happened. Okay, tell your husband. Well, can I talk to you alone? Why? Because I'm not going to listen to one side of the story. What do we all learn? At least one thing we learned growing up. 3 sides to every story. His, hers, and the truth. Right? Don't meet with one person. Now, there are certain times where that person's not available when and they don't want to show up. Well, okay, then I guess we have to do this, but I try to get somebody else there because I don't want party. I don't want, you know, there's a great proverb that says, a person seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. A person seems right until his neighbor comes and examines. Like somebody says, you know what so-and-so did? Oh, they did this. Kids are great at this. Cammy hit me. She did. Well, I will beat that child. And then you find out, well, I was putting clods of dirt in her hair from behind. I forgot to tell you that. You forgot to tell me you were putting clumps of dirt in your sister's hair. Now, I look white to you, right? But my daughter, she's a beautiful brown girl. And she has beautiful brown people hair. And clods of dirt don't come out of beautiful brown girls' hair very easy, do they, beautiful brown girls? You deserved it. Well, she didn't have pure motives, believe me. And when I asked her why she did it, she went, I don't know, it seemed like fun. I couldn't argue with it. Seemed like fun to put clods of dirt in my sister's hair from behind. Okay. Never been a sister. Without hypocrisy. Now, what's really important here is we're all going to be hypocrites to a certain degree because none of us really has this walk down. But you cannot be in the midst of a gross sin giving somebody else your opinion on their gross sin. Nobody's going to receive from you. Nobody's going to want to receive from you if you're just a hypocrite. You follow me? Okay. And then he sums up the whole thing. I love the way James does this. And now here's the proverb. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You can meditate on that verse for 10 years and not get everything out of it that's there. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I love that, man. I love that. Now, I'm looking at the clock, and it's 12 o'clock, and we did start a little late, but here's what I'm going to give you guys, and you can do this for homework. 2 Samuel 16 and 17. I'm going to give you the brief paraphrase in the two-minute Reader's Digest version, as they say, though I've never really read Reader's Digest. I just know that means that you're condensing it. It's the story of a man named Shimei who sees David leaving the city because his son Absalom rebelled against him, and he cusses him out. He keeps it real. And he tells him, you are this and you are that and you're a bloodthirsty scoundrel. And one of David's men says, I'm going to cut this dead dog's head off. And David says to him, oh, easy. I love the line. He goes, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zariah? David had a cousin named Zariah, or these guys were his cousins. It's really hard to figure out whether it was his uncle or his cousin, but these guys were apparently his cousins. And they loved being, some guys want to be in charge, and some guys want to just be next to the guy in charge. These guys were great for a kingdom because they didn't want to be in charge, but they loved enforcing. And these sons of Zariah, man, he takes his sword out, and he's going to cut this guy's head off. And David says to him, no, don't listen. Let him curse. Maybe God will look on his cursing and bless me for it. Now that's so important for us because some of us aren't aggressors. They're retort people. They're, oh, you said your piece? Is that you said your piece? Well, now it's my turn. I'm not that. I'm the other guy. I'm the guy that's usually getting put in my place afterward. David knew something about that. He said, no. You had your peace? I'm not going to say nothing. Because maybe God's going to look on the things that this guy said to me, and he's going to bless me for this affliction. And guys, if I tell you the importance of this principle, is don't return, the Lord Jesus put, don't return reviling for reviling. Don't return cursing for cursing. On the other hand, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. And God will reward you. How awesome is that? Right? But then, in the latter part of 16 and 17, there's a guy named Abishai the Cushite, and another guy whose name slips my mind, but you can read it later. Now, what happens is Absalom needs an advisor to help him now defeat his father, David. And David has an advisor to help him basically stay alive. And these two guys, Abishai, what's the other guy's name? You remember, Tom? Abishai and... So they both, huh? Abishai the Cushite? Hushai. Is that Cushite? There's some names like that, right? Both of them come and they give Absalom this advice. They say, what do you think we should do now that David has left the city? And one of them says, here's what you need to do. You need to go after them now. You need to smash them. You need to defeat them now that David's on the run. And the other guy says, no. Here's what you need to do. And Absalom's like, wow, he's a young kid. He's 20-something years old. He says, man, who? I got one advisor telling me this and one advisor telling me that. What should I do? And then Absalom does what only kids do. He asks his friends, who should I listen to? Oh, you got to listen to that guy. So the guy that he listened to gave him all the wrong advice, but with all the right way. He made it pretty, but it was terrible advice. The guy that gave him the good advice, as soon as he didn't listen to the advice, you know what the guy did? Here's what the Bible says. He saddled his donkey, rode to his hometown, got his affairs in order, said goodbye to his family, and hung himself. Because he knew he had just betrayed the king, and the advice that his son, this guy, was going to take was going to cause nothing but destruction. And in the end, he's dead anyway. Now, what is there to receive for us? Listen to me. How you frame wisdom and advice, how you give it and who you give it, the whole chapter is replete. It is complete with ways to give wisdom. And when you put it up against even the Old Testament to the New Testament, James 3:17, what is our guide again? Ready? The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. When the wisdom comes like that, it don't matter if it's in black and white or in color, it's good wisdom. If it comes to you all dressed up really pretty in a nice dress, and I don't mean that as from a womanly thing, I mean that as a descriptive thing, but it's not those things. Certain destruction awaits you, brothers and sisters. So, close your Bible. I'm done. Please remember again what I said. Try to receive this, not from me, from the Lord. Reread those sections of Scripture if you have time, 2 Samuel 16 and 17, and you can see, because they're really, really wonderful stories. They're the stories that you read and you go, man, I got to read the Old Testament more. Man, I got to read the Old Testament. That's just such good stuff there. All right? And if you have any questions, I'm here. And if you need any advice, it better be pure, peaceable, full of mercy, good fruit, willing to yield, right? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that you have opened our hearts to want to change. God, we do. God, and I know by the power of your spirit, myself, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. My mouth gets so far ahead of me all the time, God, and I'm sorry. And I do pray for anybody here that is in that same mourning right now. They just, it's just so hard for them not to say dumb things or to rush ahead. God, I pray by the power of your Spirit you'd help them. Matter of fact, guys, if you're here now and this Bible study really touched you and you need supernatural help in changing the patterns of your mouth, just stand up and let's just all pray this out together. Father God, we all stand because your word says with God all things are possible, but with man this is impossible. God, so far out ahead of ourselves our mouth gets, God, and we're sorry. And we take the wisdom that your brother imparted to us today, and we ask you to help us to apply it to our lives, that we would be strong in the power of your might, and we'd really be changed. God, I know that myself and for my brothers and sisters that are standing here now, man, if we could control this mouth, so many more people would see you when they look at us instead of us. We can be so much better witness just by speaking less. So help us, God. We call upon you to give us supernatural help because we can't do this. We can't, God. Even though we know it, we can't stop ourselves. So Holy Spirit, help us. For all of us that are here who say hurtful, rushing things, God, we want from our mouth, like it was said about you, to flow torrents of living water. Thank you, God. We pray for mercy and grace to do these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.